Our message today is from Joshua. We want to draw a few lessons from the old general that was tasked with the great responsibility of bringing Israel to the long-awaited and promised land of Canaan after Moses was taken away. And this is at the end of Joshua's journey. And in Joshua chapter 23, want to read verses 1 through 3, and then 24, verses 22 and 23. So I will just read a few verses out of this long story. Joshua 23, verse 1. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Let's keep that in mind. Now, in chapter 24, verse 22 and 23, Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Here we find a man that is not ashamed to admit his age. Actually, for us men, it's a joy to say how old we are. That makes us sound very wise and very experienced, but for women, it's a little different. Anyway, one old-timer said once, his happy hour is when he gets to have a nap. But anyway, to some of us, it may come that way too. But the last public speech is given here by this general of Israel, this man of God. And it is important for him to give valuable advice to Israel. If Israel would have paid attention then, and the next generation would have followed, they could have spared themselves a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache or heartbreak, a lot of sorrow, and a lot of defeat would have been prevented if they would have just paid attention. For us, it will be like that too. It is very important for us to take heed when we hear the Word of God, to really pay attention, to go home and meditate on what we heard, and then study further in God's Word during the week and become what the Bible calls doers of the word, and not forgetful hearers. And this was the problem in Israel so many times. They were forgetful hearers. Yes, they had the law. They had the men of God. They had the prophets, the leaders. And in this case, it was Joshua. See, God's goal with us is to make all of us spiritual leaders in our homes and in our community. We need to become the light and salt of our communities, that our communities can look up, our neighborhoods can look up at us, that when they are in need, when they are at the end of their rope, that they know where to go to, that they can come to us and we can help them show the way. Because God wants us to glorify Him first and foremost, and then be a light and a salt on this earth. And we cannot achieve that if we're forgetful hearers. Israel could not achieve its purpose unless they would heed the lessons and the word that was given to them. So I want to go and show us here 4 points here. The first one is Joshua reminds Israel of the past blessings. He said, "It was God, the Lord your God, who fought for you." That was a blessing they had in the past. In verse 9 in chapter 23, it says, "The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you." Now, that was a privilege Israel had. The Lord himself had fought for them and on their behalf. Because the battle is the Lord's. They had learned that. Remember how they took Jericho. And just by following the instructions that the Lord had given Joshua, and I love that story. I always loved that story from when I was little. How they marched around Jericho. And it wasn't Israel that tore down those walls. It was God who let those walls tumble because they were obedient to the Lord. And if God's people who are obedient to the Lord make a shout like they did then, any wall can come down. Even today. Because God fights the battle. Joshua chapter 24, verse 11 through 13. "Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them..." The Lord gave them into your hands. "I sent a hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you." You see, God can use hornets to fight his battles. I mean, if the hornets go and sting the enemy, oh boy, they're running like crazy. "You did not do it with your own sword and bow." They had to be reminded, look, the Lord fought your battles. The Lord brought you to this point. You didn't do it on your own. You didn't do it in your own strengths. And then, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. It was the Lord who gave the victory," is what Joshua reminds them of. Who gives the victory in our life? It is the Lord. And if you are here today as a child of God, and you have served him for many years, it's the Lord that brought you through. When you were down, he lifted you back up. When you were discouraged, he found ways to encourage you. And maybe today he is encouraging you and showing you his faithfulness. He wants you and me to count those blessings and to treasure them and not take them for granted. We need to stop and think of past blessings. So often we hear, "I forget the past, I forget the past." Yes. In part, we need to forget the past, where we failed and where we messed up and all of that, but we need to learn from it. But we need to also learn from the past how God was with Israel, how God was with others, how God was with the church in the New Testament, how God was with his people, how God was with us, with our families, that we are here as a result of God's and Jesus' grace. There's a permeating problem in our day and time. The focus is often on the things that we don't have. And we wish so bad we had the things we don't have that we don't appreciate the things we do have and therefore become a murmuring people, an ungrateful people. And the Bible warns us of that. Remember where we once were as Christians? We were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. And it was clear that we were on the broad way to hell. But now Christ came to save us. He intervened in our lives and he helped us to come into a relationship with the Father. And this should be our treasure every single day. Do not forget where you came from, how God has helped you. Israel forgot very quickly. And also for our young people, we need to remember, if your parents have a great testimony of how the Lord helped you, you may say, well, that's their walk with God. I have to find my own way. Yes, you need to. Because the parents cannot have a relationship with God for you. It's each one for ourselves need to have that relationship. Titus 3 verse 5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Never forget this. Do not forget his benefits. Joshua, number 2, reminds them of future blessings that are promised by the Lord. Not only could they look back on the past where God had helped them, gave them victory, gave them the promised land, they had come to rest from their enemies, they had achieved what God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob many, many years before, but now he promised them a bright future. God would deliver them and continue to deliver them from the enemies. In verse 5 in Joshua 23, the Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of the land as the Lord your God promised you. God promised us Christians victory. He promised you and me that we can live in the victory and the faithfulness of the Lord, in his strength, in his grace. Victory over Satan, for example. And I believe that if it wouldn't be for God's grace and his protective blood on the cross, we wouldn't be here today. Because Satan seeks to destroy. In James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is a promise for the future. Yes, you can. You can have victory over sin. Yes, you can make it. Yes, you can overcome. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus if we submit ourselves under God. Also, victory over the world. The world has a lot of pressure on us. There's peer pressure. There's all kinds of pressures that come to young believers. Remember this. In 1 John 4, verse 4, and these are bright and great promises of future blessings. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. If the world pressures us, we have to remind ourselves, no, I am on the side of the greatest one. He is the great I am. He is the God of all gods. He is the creator of everything, the visible and invisible world. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And so in the name of Jesus, we have victory. This is the promise in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How can our faith be the victory that overcomes the world? Because our faith is a vital faith, that is a living faith, that is in a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is his grace that flows into us that we can say no to sin and to the world and yes to all that God has for us. But then God wants to give us victory over ourselves. And sometimes we're our own greatest enemies. And God has promised Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, Joshua reminds Israel of their responsibility. Yes, we do have responsibility. We have the responsibility where we are accountable for what we think. We are accountable for our attitudes. We are accountable for our deeds, what we say and what we do. And that cannot be changed. That cannot be taken away from us. We are accountable. The first thing that Joshua told them, okay, you promise you want to go with the Lord. You promised you want to serve the Lord. They said, yes, we want to serve the Lord. Yes, amen. And they continued to cheer Joshua on. And Joshua kind of felt, well, you think that because I'm old, I'm going to die soon, so you're going to just secretly do your own thing. He says, now you are witnesses against yourselves. Joshua reminded them that they had idols among them. There was idolatry. There were strange gods. In verse 7, he says, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. And verse 12 and 13, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God would no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So he tells them of their responsibility to keep the law, to be the people of God. It's one thing to get into the promised land, but it's another thing to keep being there and staying free from all the dangers that come ahead. Today, many Christians struggle with materialism, and what we have observed is when Israel had no pressure from the outside, when they didn't have wars, when they had successful years and they were blossoming, they were very successful financially, that's when they would fall away from the Lord. And it's really sad that human nature is that way. And today, many Christians struggle with materialism. Whether you have a lot or not, you can be so bound and so worried about the material aspect of life that you forget to honor God in everything. Jesus warned of us just playing church. You know how it looks like when we play church? He warned of that. In Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9, Jesus warns and says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. In other words, Jesus attacked legalism here in the strongest way possible. He said, you are playing church. And playing church has got to stop. You got to put your heart into worship. You got to put your heart into praying. You got to put your heart into living the Christian life. If your heart is not in it, God cannot recognize it. So Joshua told them to obey the word of God. And that's expected from all believers, obeying the word of God. In verse 6 here, he says, be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Here is something that many people don't understand. Many people think that the farthest right they go, the farther right, the better. It's not true. Or others think the farther left they go, the better it is. It's not true. because both sides have lost the focus on what it's really all about, which is Christ Jesus, and he is right there. He is distinct. He is the only way, and he will always be the only way. Today, God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. To be wholly devoted to the Lord. That was the call of Joshua. He said in verse 8 through 11, "But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised." So be very careful to love the Lord your God. This was the plea that this old general had before his people. Be careful to love your God. Not just develop a sense of duty, not just develop a sense of obedience to his word, but love your God with all your heart, because that's when they would be able to really keep the law in the right way. Because Joshua admonished them, don't just keep the letter of the law, keep the spirit of the law, and that is loving God with all your heart. And fourthly, Joshua warns them of the danger of disobedience and disregard. In verse 15 and 16, "And this warning was not taken to heart by many at that time, although probably the parents that knew about the move into the promised land, because later we read something that is very disheartening, and it's a terrible thing what happened after this generation was all gone. But let me read here in verse 15 and 16, "But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised, you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened. Until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given to you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you." Why did Joshua have to tell this warning to his people? He wanted them to know, and this was written down so Israel could go back later and read it and say, yes, we were warned about it, but we didn't pay any attention. The problem is that when we don't keep God's law and we experience God's, I wouldn't say punishment, but we experience the consequences of straying from God, that this is all because we didn't pay attention. We didn't really listen and take heed. God threatened the people if they would break the covenant with him, that there would be severe consequences. And it says at the end, and in the beginning of Judges, it says that when the new generation came up, they didn't know God. They didn't care to learn more about the Lord. They went their own ways. I'm just so shocked and so surprised that they forgot so quickly. From one generation to the other generation said, I don't need that. I mean, we're in the promised land. We're automatically blessed. So, I mean, they enjoyed the blessings through their parents so much that they thought, well, this is how it's always going to be. But they had no personal relationship with the Lord, and that was the problem. We cannot afford to disregard God's work and God's word. God made a new covenant with us, the New Testament church, and that is through Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you and encourage you today. Renew your covenant today with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve only you. I want to serve you until my last breath, until I see you face to face, no matter what is there. I want to keep that covenant on my side from my part. If we disregard his word and his commands, we cannot expect his blessings just to flow any further. Not that we earn it. We cannot earn anything. Everything is mercy. But what we can expect, if we are faithful, the Lord will keep his end of the bargain every time. He will keep his promises, and I believe that with all my heart. Today we live in a time of lawlessness and a time where people want to shed all the restraints, and they don't want to be preached to. They don't want to hear even about Jesus Christ, that old message. But believe me, people are coming to Christ in many places in the world today. You will not see that on the news or hear that on the news. You will only hear that through other sources, but it's there. God is at work. And God wants you and me to stay faithful and not be self-ruling, but totally rely on him. Today, the motto is, I belong to no man, I will do as I please. But we as Christians know better. We want to do what pleases God. And I want to encourage you in this. Let's learn from this old general and his message. His reminder of blessings in the past, his reminder of blessings in the future, his reminder of our responsibility in our relationship to God, and also the warning that can help us to stay the course, to love him with all our hearts, and to see him one day face to face. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.